Veterinarians across the country are keeping a watchful eye out for the deadly H3N2 virus. It originally broke out last year and so far has spread to 28 states. Canines who are regularly in dog parks, kennels, and daycare are most at risk. Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal says this strain of the flu was originally mistaken for the H3N8 virus. H3N2 appears to have originated in China or South Korea.
In those areas, you have these crazy animal food markets, and dogs are in those markets, and they're getting mixed up with all sorts of other things. It's rougher than the other respiratory viruses that we've seen.
What do you mean rougher?
Well, because it's novel, the canine system has to spend some time figuring it out. So when you look at Bordetella bronchoseptica, which is the bacterial pathogen we associate so often with canine respiratory disease, or canine parainfluenza, which has been around for a long time, it's in our vaccines, but it can still show up novel. It can still mutate a little bit and then come into a community and be kind of hardcore. In fact, we may have had that happen here in Bloomington Normal several years back. We had a very violent outbreak of canine respiratory disease, a kennel cough complex. And everybody was looking for canine influenza, We'd recently had a bunch of dogs brought up from Katrina to rescue, and the assumption was that someone in that group brought this in. We never found any, and the thought was maybe this was a parainfluenza, which is sort of the generic kennel cough virus, but these dogs were getting beat up from it. I mean, we had hospitalized cases. We never do that. Well, with canine influenza, it's going to be a similar situation. Canine populations have had no time to circulate this and get used to it, and then it's that first go-around that really is going to beat everybody up. So right now, they're sort of looking at, if you have 100 dogs, every dog, all 100 dogs will be a risk. 20 won't show signs. 80 are going to get sick to some degree, which can be, and we're seeing a lot of times with these canine influenzas, the dogs are getting more ill than they would. They're having a little bit more trouble getting through it. And up to 8% can die from this, which is a pretty high number for canine respiratory disease. So it's something we have to take seriously when we see these animals present with canine influenza, that if we suspect canine influenza, that we have to be a little bit more serious about approaching it. You get this sort of widespread panic whenever this sort of situation occurs.
Well, people are afraid their dog's going to die.
Exactly. There's this idea that it's going to be like the great flu pandemic of the early 20th century.
Like the Spanish flu.
Exactly. And really, we're not there yet.
What are some of the symptoms of this?
The symptoms are pretty self-evident. These strains can cause a high fever, which is going to make the animal feel ill, which will be manifest with loss of appetite, classic respiratory signs like coughing, nasal discharge, just getting wiped out, the animal feeling wiped out. It's going to look like a clear infectious respiratory disease. Now, again, we have kennel cough in our community. We have lots of kennel cough in our community. It just kind of cycles around and moves around from facility to facility.
So your dog could have kennel cough and you think it's H3N2, maybe.
Exactly. What people in our community at the moment need to know, this could change. This could change with a single introduction. This could change. But what people in our community need to know, that currently we're still seeing kennel coughs. Classic old-fashioned kennel coughs that may resolve on their own. We might need to do some antibiotics. We probably won't need to hospitalize. So if your animal develops clinical respiratory signs, we just need to go through the same sort of history process. Were they boarded recently? Have they been to a groomer recently or a dog park recently?
It seems like with regards to dogs that it should be fairly easy to spread this, because unlike people, dogs don't know that, oh, well, I'm sick, I don't need to go, I should not go put my nose up against this other dog.
Actually, that brings up an excellent point. And the thing that is the scariest about all influenza viruses is that they shed, then the patient gets sick.
So we're not talking shedding with fur, just so people know.
Sorry, viral shedding. It's infectious. So it's probably still a good idea to just be conscious of dog-dog contacts. And it's all the classic places, boarding facilities. And this isn't a boarding. It's not like the boarding facility is at fault here. You can't avoid it when you get that many dogs together. Boarding facilities and grooming facilities in some of these places, dog parks, dog travel. Those are things to just be a little bit sensitive about right now.
I've read that cats can actually catch this same thing. They can catch H3N2. Is that so?
That is so. And the implications of that right now, we don't know. It's
too new.
It's new, and cats most cats, all cats should, but most cats have a more indoor and contained. So even if a dog brings home to a cat, in most cases, that cat's not going anywhere. That's it. But if you have a sick dog and then you have a sick cat, if we get to a situation where canine influenza is more of a possibility, then yes, so owners are going to be aware of if their dog gets sick and they have cats in the household, be keeping an eye on the cats. 90%+ of these animals are fine. And the up to 8% not surviving canine influenza, compared to other respiratory pathogens and diseases, that's a really high number. But it's an up to 8%. In some populations, it might be 1%. And it might be 0%. But they've had some areas where the mortality was up to 8%. But generally, we see it as a respiratory infection that's going to be, for the most part, controllable. But as much as we can get our public, our community educated on canine influenza, the risk factors.
Matt, what should we do if we think our dog has H3N2?
If your dog shows up with a cough and a runny nose and doesn't feel well, you should contact your veterinarian. No facility entrance should occur unless the animal requires critical care. You go to the parking lot, you stay out of the facility, and the veterinary hospitals will probably tell you this. We're going to do everything in the car. They're going to send one staff member out, that staff member, or that physician, that veterinarian, would assess the animal and go through history. And probably in most of these cases, they're not going to hospitalize. They're going to say, okay, your animal looks like it has an infectious kennel cough, and we're going to treat it the same way. If we suspect canine influenza, there's a testing process. We all know what to do. We would test that, send it off to these labs. And then in the rare instance, we may have to hospitalize a patient. That's when the clinics are going to have to, on their own, they're going to have to figure out a way to get these animals hospitalized and not put the whole place at risk.
That's Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal. H3N2 is believed to not be contagious to humans, but people could pick up the virus from an infected dog and then pass it on to another canine. Practice good virus hygiene to protect your pets. I'm Laura Kennedy.